哎
呀。
Devasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya.
So we'll read Bhagavad Gita as it is, translation and commentary, by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Chapter 4, Transcendental Knowledge. Text 10. Vitaraga vayakrodha manmaya mamupasrita bhavo jnana tapasa putamadbhavam agata. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me, and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. This is a very nice verse spoken by Lord Krishna. Perhaps you can repeat the translation after me. Being freed from attachment,
being free from attachment,
fear and anger,
fear and anger,
being fully absorbed in me,
being fully absorbed in me,
and taking refuge in me,
and taking refuge in me,
many, many persons in the past,
many, many persons in the past,
became purified by knowledge of me,
became purified by knowledge of me,
and thus they all attained transcendental love for me.
That you all
attain
transcendental love for me.
Purport by Srila Prabhupada. As described above, it is very difficult for a person who is too materially affected to understand the personal nature of the Supreme Absolute Truth. Generally, people who are attached to the bodily conception of life are so absorbed in materialism that it is almost impossible for them to understand how the Supreme can be a person. Such materialists cannot even imagine that there is a transcendental body which is imperishable, full of knowledge, and eternally blissful. In the materialistic concept, the body is perishable, full of ignorance, and completely miserable. Therefore, people in general keep the same bodily idea in mind when they are informed of the personal form of the Lord. For such materialistic men, the form of the gigantic material manifestation is supreme. Consequently, they consider the supreme to be impersonal, and because they are too materially absorbed, the conception of retaining the personality after liberation from matter frightens them. When they are informed that spiritual life is also individual and personal, they become afraid of becoming persons again. And so they naturally prefer a kind of merging into the impersonal void. Generally, they compare the living entities to the bubbles of the ocean, which merge into the ocean. That is the highest perfection of spiritual existence attainable without individual personality. This is a kind of fearful stage of life, devoid of perfect knowledge of spiritual existence. Furthermore, there are many persons who cannot understand spiritual existence at all. Being embarrassed by so many theories and by contradictions of various types of philosophical speculation, they become disgusted or angry and foolishly conclude that there is no supreme cause and that everything is ultimately void. Hare Krishna. Such people are in a diseased condition of life. Some people are too materially attached and therefore do not give attention to spiritual life. Some of them want to merge into the supreme spiritual cause, and some of them disbelieve in everything. Being angry at all sorts of spiritual speculation out of hopelessness. Hare Krishna. This last class of men take to the shelter of some kind of intoxication, and their affective hallucinations are sometimes accepted as spiritual vision. One has to get rid of all three stages of attachment to the material world: the stage of negligence of spiritual life, the stage of fear of a spiritual personal identity, and the conception of void that arises from frustration in life. To get free from these stages of the material concept of life, one has to take complete shelter of the Lord, guided by the bona fide spiritual master, and follow the disciplines and regulative principles of devotional life. The last stage of devotional life is called bhava, or transcendental love of Godhead. According to Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu 1, 4, 15, and 16, the science of devotional service is as follows: Adoshara tata sadhu sangata bhajana kriya tato narta nivritisya tato nishta rachishtata tata saktis tato bhavas tata prema budanchati sadhakanamayam premna prado bhave bhavekrama. In the beginning, one must have a preliminary desire for self-realization. This will bring one to the stage of trying to associate with persons who are spiritually elevated. In the next stage, one becomes initiated by an elevated spiritual master, and under his instructions, the neophyte devotee begins the process of devotional service. By execution of devotional service under the guidance of the spiritual master, one becomes free from all material attachment, attains steadiness and self-realization, and acquires a taste for hearing about the absolute personality of Godhead Sri Krishna. This taste leads one further forward to attachment for Krishna consciousness, which is matured in bhava, or the preliminary stage of transcendental love of God. Real love for God is called prema, the highest perfectional stage of life. In the prema stage, there is constant engagement in the transcendental loving service of the Lord. So, by the slow process of devotional service, under the guidance of the bona fide spiritual master, one can attain the highest stage, being freed from all material attachment. From the fearfulness of one's individual spiritual personality, and from the frustrations that result in void philosophy, then one can ultimately attain to the abode of the Supreme Lord. Hare Krishna. Vitaraga vayakrodha manmaya mamupasrita bahavo jnana tapasa puta madbhavam agata. Being freed from attachment, fear, and anger, being fully absorbed in me and taking refuge in me, many, many persons in the past became purified by knowledge of me, and thus they all attained transcendental love for me. Om Jnanatam Randasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshur Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vanchakalpa Charubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Paditanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Namaha. Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadha Shri Vasudhi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna 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 Hare Hare, Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. Can you move this closer so I can reach that? So this is a very nice verse in Bhagavad Gita, and it very nice verse to discuss in the assembly of devotees like yourselves. Actually, it's very nice. It's very nice to be back and to see you all again. I was missing you all in Russia. Although the devotees are very nice in Russia, the devotees are very nice everywhere, but as they say, what is it? I forget the whole thing, but it ends up that there's no place like home. How does that go? Be it ever so something. Be it ever so wonderful, the alternative, but there's no place like home. So, yes, I feel at home with you devotees. And, yes, you're very nice devotees. So, this is important verse because here, Krishna is talking about the defects of three ways of life, really. The simply materialistic way of life, the way of life which is impersonal, and the way of life which is voidist. So these are the three, or the three, or three of the popular alternatives in to spiritual life, or to Krishna consciousness particularly. If people become entangled in any of these three ways, then it becomes very difficult for them. First of all, there's mention of a person who is too attached. A person who is too attached means someone who is simply materialistic and simply identifying with the material body, and as a result, simply interested in materialistic life of sense gratification. In other words, like so many of the ordinary people who we see every day in the street, or if you're a working person, then you would see many of them regularly. And you would be able to see practically how they are too attached. There was one cartoon, actually, in an American newspaper, done by some just ordinary materialistic cartoonist, but it was very sort of appropriate in a funny little way, and Srila Prabhupada appreciated it a lot. There was one lady, typical middle-class American housewife, and she had become a little attached or attracted to chanting Hare Krishna. And she was trying to get her husband, who was a typical middle-class American working man, to also take an interest. But he was just one of these people who come home after work every day and they hide behind the newspaper. They have the newspaper in front of them and that's it. Or you don't see them, you just see the newspaper. That sort of person. And you might try to start a conversation with them, but while they're reading the newspaper, they're just saying, yes. Oh, yes. Like that. Not very interested. Bored type of person. So the lady, the housewife, was interested, attracted to Krishna consciousness, and attracted to chanting Hare Krishna. And she said, "Why don't you chant, chant, chant?" And he said, "I can't, can't, can't." So, people may be like that. They may just be too attached. Just too attached. So, you try all sorts of things to get them interested, but it may be quite difficult. There is one story about Narada Muni, actually. Narada Muni was with Krishna one time, and Lord Krishna told Narada Muni that I am feeling lonely. I am feeling lonely because so many living entities fell down into material life. You've got to help me. Please bring some of them back. Please bring some of them back so I don't feel so lonely, so I can have their association. So Narada said, yes, of course, I'll do that. I'll go immediately, I'll try and find some and try and bring them back, make them devotees. So Lord Krishna said, yes, actually, I can give you a referral. I'll give you a referral. I happen to have heard about this one man, and he has some interest in me, and he's getting old, so maybe, I think he is possibly a good candidate for coming back. So why don't you go down and ask him, and perhaps he'll come back and join me. So Narada went and knocked on that man's door, and the man came to the door, and Narada said that, oh, you know, I am Narada Muni, Lord Krishna has sent me. He says that you're interested in him, in Krishna consciousness, and he'd like you to come back with me now, back to Godhead. So, shall we go? And the man said, well, I don't know, really. Yes, I'm sort of interested. Kind of. Little. But I don't know, you know, if I'm ready. And Narada said, well, it's a great opportunity. Krishna has personally chosen you. So please, come on. Man said, well, yeah. Okay. All right then, but just one thing. I have a young son, sort of youngish, and he's approaching the age now he should get married. So let me just get him married. And then you just come back in a year or two or so. You just come back, and then I'll go with you. I'll be ready then. So Narada's a little disappointed, but anyway, he went and came back later and knocked on the door. And sure enough, that son was now married. So the man came, and he was a little, taken aback. Oh, it's you again. I see. Oh, yes, I forgot. And Narada said, well, very good. Now your son is married. That's very nice. So now you can come with me. Back to Godhead. Eternal life full of bliss and knowledge. Isn't that wonderful? The man said, well, yes. I suppose. I guess so. Narada was saying, let's go. We can go right now. The man said, okay. But just one thing. There's no grandson yet. Just hold on. Just a little while. It won't be long, I'm sure. Just be a little patient and wait. And in no time, I'll be ready. As soon as there's a grandson, then I can go. So Narada was disappointed, but what could he do? So he came back later. Came back later, and what happened then? Came back later. Knocked on the door. The son, who was married now, and who had actually just had a child now, the son opened the door. And Narada said, oh, here I am again. I see you've had a child now. That young man said, yes, that's true. So, Narada said, so now your father is free to come with me. Very nice. The young man said, well, yes. But there's one problem. My father just died already. So I think you're just a bit too late. So Narada was very disappointed. Anyway, he has transcendental vision, Narada. So Narada, a little shortly thereafter, Narada got some realization that man had been born in the same house as a dog. He was now the household dog. So Narada thought, that's great. He You know, he'll be happy to come now. He won't want to stay as a saddhaka. No, so that's good, actually. So Narada went back, knocked on the door. There was the dog. The dog was just sort of lying there. Then the dog saw him. The dog sort of was a little taken aback. And he said, "Oh, it's you again." And Narada said, "Yes, it's me. I've come to take you back to Godhead. It's wonderful. Eternal life full of bliss and knowledge. Now you've been born as a dog. And you remember how you're a human. And so this is a very bad situation. So you can come with me. Come with me back to Godhead. Isn't that wonderful?" So the dog thought about it for a second or two or ten and said, "Well, isn't there anyone else you can go and see?" So this is all being too attached. So some people are too attached. And we see that in our preaching sometimes. You know, sometimes if we're preaching regularly to people at a particular place, then you get to know everybody. And you get a fairly reasonable idea of what is everyone's situation and how they are and what their good points and their bad points and strengths and weaknesses and so on. So, you know, there's some people, it's sort of like you have to whip them. Almost. It's something like that. Every time you have to ask them, "So how are you doing?" "Oh, okay." "Are you chanting your rounds?" "Yeah, trying to." You know, it's just hard to get them going, get them off the ground. So some people are too attached. That's what we're saying here. That's what Krishna's saying. Some people are too attached. Everyone, at least all the people who are simply materialistic, they're all very attached. And it's not easy with most of them. But some of them are too attached. And it's just very difficult. The type of person who's so dedicated to material life that he will go down with the ship. He will go down with the ship. That's just a die-hard materialist. What Srila Prabhupada called a stalwart materialist. Dedicated. So then there's another type of person who it's difficult for. This is the type of person who has impersonal tendencies. Yes, this is more like the type of person who may actually be interested in spiritual life. But they have impersonal tendencies. They have the impersonal tendency means they're prone, they're attracted to the idea of God being impersonal, not being a person, just being some energy or light or force or something. They're attracted to that idea. And part of that is they're attracted to the idea of not being persons themselves. Now, the reason that they have become attracted like this to start off with is because they have had certain experiences in material life. Certain experiences in personal dealings, certain experiences in interpersonal relationships, and they have actually been hurt. They've been hurt in their material life, and as a result, they have a negative idea or negative attitude towards personal existence in general. They may think that here I am a person with emotions and feelings and with a mind and my own individual desires, and I'm on that basis, on that basis of me being a person like that, I'm interacting with other persons. And sometimes it's okay, but sometimes it's not okay. Sometimes I get involved in some personal relationship, and somehow or other I become disappointed. And I become emotionally disturbed. My mind becomes disturbed. And my desires remain unfulfilled. So, in this way they feel disappointed. So they think that the answer is to stop being a person. If I'm not a person, if I don't have emotions, which could be disturbed, if I don't have a mind, which could become agitated and get into anxiety and stressed out, if I didn't have a mind like that, and if I didn't have desires which could be thwarted and left unfulfilled, and, you know, so on and so forth, if I didn't have these things, then everything, then life would be free from pain. Life would be free from pain, and that would be very nice. Sometimes people, they think like that. So they become attracted due to their unfortunate experiences in personal, in materialistic personal life. They develop some concept of spiritual life in impersonal terms. Of course, that is not such a good idea. Srila Prabhupada talked about this. He said it is something like, if you have a finger and you hurt your finger badly, then you think that the solution is, cut off my finger. If I don't have a finger, then I will never have a sore finger. It's like, if I don't have a head, I'll never get a headache. That's wonderful. So this is, Prabhupada says it's a fearful life. When one is living a fearful existence, there's not really a concept of a positive alternative, but the concept is basically how to get free from the fear. And the person thinks that if I get free from the fear, that will be very good. That is the desirable platform for life. But that is not true. It's just a neutral position. No disturbance, no pain. But it's not a position where there's positive experience of spiritual or any type of pleasure. And Srila Prabhupada gave the example, I'm sure many of you have heard of it, of how in the Middle Ages they used to punish people, I think I heard they used to test people to see if they were witches by dunking them. Tie them to a chair or something with some rocks attached to the bottom. Drop it, you know, with a rope attached to the chair. Drop them into some big pool or something like that. And let them stay under for a while and then pull them out and see how they are. I know for witches they used to do that. And it was a very sort of down-to-earth system that if they held the person, the suspected witch, underwater for 5 minutes, I don't know if any of you have ever tried, you know, staying underwater for 5 minutes, or even 1 minute. 1 minute is quite something. 2 minutes is like quite bizarre or impossible for practically anyone. But so they would keep someone underwater, the suspected witch, for 5 minutes, and then pull him or her back out. If they survived, which was not so common, then they would immediately assume, or the question would arise, how did they survive? They must be a witch. So then they'd burn them at the stake. If they didn't survive, then they'd say, ah, the person was innocent. Yes. So anyway, some people, though, they would torture them by holding them underwater, then pulling them out after a while. But of course, to simply be able to breathe is not anything very special. We're all breathing regularly. And none of us are finding that a very exciting experience. It's something we take for granted, 100%. But when you are put in a position where you can't breathe, but then they let you breathe, then you may think, oh, how wonderful. This is very nice. But actually, it's just a neutral position. It's nothing special. It's not negative. But it's not positive. It's just, it's nothing in particular. Just very ordinary. Yes, so that is what this impersonal life is like. It is nothing very special. Simply an escape from those fearful conditions. But there's no positive experience of positive pleasure. And then there's a third type of person who is described here as being Krodha, angry. Very angry. This is the type of person who has become frustrated with life and everything and everyone and themselves and just everything. They become very angry. Yes, that is perhaps the type of person. Well, Prabhupada says here, they may take some intoxication. They may go insane. They may become, you know, extremely, because they're angry, they may become extremely vindictive. Just like in America, it's meant to be a very opulent country. But every few months or so, I think it is, some person goes on a shooting spree. Right? Every few months. And they kill, you know, so many completely innocent people who just happen to be in the wrong place at that time. And then maybe they just shoot themselves at the end. So, there's frustration, anger, with everything. So these three categories of people, it's difficult for them to take to Krishna consciousness if they're too much, too deeply entangled in those things. But if a person is not too much, not too materialistic, not too frustrated, then they can take to Krishna consciousness nicely, easily, and come to this platform. Puta mad bhavam agata. Being purified in devotional service, they can come to the level of developing love for Krishna. There is one verse quoted by Rupa Goswami in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu. What is that verse? Yad richaya mat katado. Jata shradas tu ya puman. I forget the whole verse, but it's saying that any person who is not too materially attached and not too materially detached can become Krishna conscious through hearing and chanting. Krishna's speech. And as long as they're not too materially detached, then they can become Krishna conscious. This is a very interesting concept. Not too materially attached, we can understand that. but not too materially detached. We might think that the more detached the person is, the better. Yes. You know, occasionally we get people, of course we get plenty of people who struggle with material attachments. Some of you might even feel that you could be counted in that group, sort of, you know, your devotees, but still, it's a bit of a struggle dealing with the material attachments. Sometimes, though, we get people who are too materially detached. And, yes, you know, and some of them become devotees, some don't. There is one devotee in New Vrindavan, he's been there on and off for about 25 years. He's a very unusual person. He is sort of too detached, but somehow he's made it as a devotee. He wears only newspapers. He does not wear anything else. He does not wear anything else. Only newspapers. His bead bag is made of newspapers. I'm absolutely serious. I've seen him and met him personally. In 1978 I met him and he's still there. And for drying himself when he takes bath, he uses newspaper. as a result, his body is blackish, although he's a European white American person. So, yeah. And one time he went on traveling Sankirtan with the devotees. He has, you know, nice newspaper dhoti and newspaper chadar. So he went on traveling Sankirtan, and they went to visit the area. They went to visit the area where Srila Prabhupada was living when he first arrived in New York, the Lower East Side of Manhattan. They went to the Bowery, and these, you know, this is like very degraded areas. Very degraded areas. Alcoholics and just street people. And so the devotees went and they were looking around and it was like a very dirty place. And there were newspapers just lying around, litter just lying around, newspapers being blown around. And this devotee became astonished. And he sort of lost control a little bit. And he was catching hold of the devotees and saying, "Look at these newspapers. What opulence. What opulence." Yes, so sometimes you get people like that. They're too detached. So this is a danger in spiritual life. To be too detached. Yes, to be too attached and too detached. This is what indirectly is being said here. If you're too materially attached, then obviously you will struggle to become situated in Krishna consciousness. But if you're too detached, you'll also find it difficult. Because in devotional service, you have to do some duty. Just like Arjuna, he was initially showing symptoms of being too detached. He just didn't care about anything. He was willing, he was wanting to just leave everything and go away and just forget it, forget everything. So he was like, he was in this frustrated condition. This is like the Buddhists, actually. The Buddhists. So here we have the materialists, the impersonalists, and the Buddhists. Yeah. Voidists. So Arjuna, he was also like that, frustrated. Let me just get out and I don't care. I'll just be a nothing. I'll just be a nobody. So Krishna, of course, did not appreciate that. And Krishna preached to him to do his duty. So, In Krishna consciousness, people have to be able to do some duty. People can't get it together to do some duty in a reasonably reliable fashion. Then they won't be able to become nicely situated in Krishna consciousness very easily. Yes. And those duties, what are those duties? Well, of course, they're Krishna conscious duties. But in many ways, they may involve things which are, you could say, dovetailing of ordinary material things. Like distributing books. Distributing books, we have to go out in the street, meet the people, stop the people, talk to the people, get money from the people, get them to take a book, so on and so forth. Convince them, debate with them back and forth a bit, perhaps. So, this is very much like what people do in material life. Many people, they do that sort of thing. Yes, so there's so many things we have to do. We have to keep the place clean. We have to keep ourselves clean. The place where we live clean. Prabhupada said that if in one place you bring together some dirt and a Brahmin, then either the dirt will go or the Brahmin will go. If neither goes, in other words, the dirt stays and the Brahmin stays with the dirt, that means that the Brahmin has fallen from the Brahminical platform. Yeah. Otherwise Brahmin will not find it tolerable to live with dirt. So, as devotees, we have to be able to live in a clean environment and be regulated. Particularly these people who are very frustrated, or all these three categories of people, they all find it very difficult to become regulated. Particularly those who are materialistic and those who are frustrated. They'll find it very difficult. The materialists will be agitated too much, and agitated by their material desires, and they'll be working so too strenuously, being forced by their material desires, too strenuously to become nicely regulated in a sattvic way. And of course those who are fearful, and particularly those who are frustrated, they will just be too fried to be regulated. They won't be able to balance their minds enough to become stable. So, therefore, Rupa Goswami says that, or he's quoting Krishna. Krishna is saying that if one, by good fortune, gets to hear about me, about Krishna, and if one is not too materially attached or detached, overly detached, then one can take to devotional service. So here Krishna is saying that people who have become freed from those things, they attain transcendental love for me through following the process which is described here. Ado shara tata sadhu sangata bhajana kriya tato narata nivritisyat tato nishta richistata ata saktistato bhavas tata prema abhidanchati. These nine stages from shraddha to prema. Yes. If we can become freed from these three things and follow the process nicely from Shraddha to Prema, then we can attain love for Krishna. Then we can come to the perfectional stage. Go completely beyond the modes of material nature. Go completely beyond the sufferings of life within this world. So this is very, very nice. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Any comments or questions? Narada Muni, now, well see, he's completely transcendental now. When people become completely transcendental, then they may be allowed to be too detached. then it won't be. It won't interfere. But here we're talking about people who are coming to Krishna consciousness. They're too detached. Like, you know, someone like Gaurkishore Das Babaji. He was so detached. Yes. But for a much lesser person, it'll just end up in tamaguna. Yeah. Something like that. It'll just end up in some dirty type of situation. Incoherent type of situation. Imbalanced type of situation. Yeah. So like this, we can approach Vrindavan. Vrindavan is very nice. Life in Vrindavan is very nice. But before we can enter Vrindavan, we have to become free. Free from all these things. Material attachment, these impersonal tendencies. And free from the propensity to just become frustrated and fed up, and in that way you sort of become immobilized. Yeah. Tamagun, mode of ignorance, means you become so frustrated. You look this way, you see, as far as you can see, I can't win. You look that way, you see, can't win. You look ahead, can't win. You look behind, can't win. You look everywhere, I can't win. Whatever I do. So, I won't bother trying. Let me just sleep. So, a person in the mode of ignorance, when they get the chance to sleep, then they think, now I'm successful. Yes, now I've achieved something good. But life in Vrindavan is very different. Goloka Vrindavan, life is very wonderful. Life is very beautiful in Goloka Vrindavan. All the devotees are in transcendental ecstasy. All the devotees are loving Krishna so much. All the animals, all the plants, all the trees, all the insects, yes. Just like there's one story I was just reading. This is the story of Prem Sarovar. Very nice story. How there is one in Vrindavan, there is one bee. There are many bees. But this is a big bumblebee. And he is the biggest bumblebee. And he's always covered in pollen. You know, the bees are called Madhu and Krishna is called Madhu because there are similarities between Krishna and the bees. The bees are darkish, right? But then they also have gold colors. So Krishna is darkish, but he has a golden dhoti. Yes, so there are similarities between Krishna and the bees. So therefore they're both called Madhu. So there's one bumblebee. He's very big, and he's always covered in pollen and honey and whatever like that, and he eats loads of honey. So he becomes so fat that he can hardly fly. He takes off, and he flies a little bit, and he lands. So he kind of bounces along. He's flying. But he's sort of bouncing along. And what is he looking for when he's bouncing? He's looking for Krishna. Because Krishna is the original source of all sweetness. All the sweetnesses which are in the different flowers. Each different flower has its own particular flavor. But all of them, they're getting their flavors from Krishna. In Vrindavan. Krishna is the reservoir of everything, including all flavors. So Mother Earth, who's an expansion of Radharani, Mother Earth, by the mercy of Krishna, in Goloka Vrindavan at least, Mother Earth manages to take from Krishna fragrance. And then she distributes that amongst the different flowers in different ways. So each flower has a different fragrance. So, oh yeah, the bumblebee, he knew that I'm really looking for Krishna. I'm not just looking for one of these flowers. I'm looking for Krishna. So he came buzzing around, bouncing and buzzing around Krishna. And Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Welcome. Good. So the bumblebee, he came buzzing and bouncing around Krishna. And Krishna, he wears Vaijayanti garland. Means a garland with a minimum of 5 colors of flowers. Is this one? 1, 2, 3, 4. Or maybe 5. So this could be called a Vaijayanti garland. Maybe. So that bumblebee, big bumblebee, was buzzing around Krishna's big garland. While Krishna was sitting there with Radharani sitting on his lap. So, Krishna called Madhu Mangal. Madhu Mangal was in a particularly boisterous mood, having recently finished breakfast and having had an unspecified number of laddus. It was unspecified, but we can understand that it was quite a considerable number, although unspecified. So he was in quite a mood. So when Krishna called him and asked him, can you please do something about this bee? And he saw that Radharani was disturbed by this bee. So Madhu Mangal, he took one stick and brandishing that stick and slashing the air with his stick like he's having a fight with some non-existent adversary, he chased away the bee. He chased away the bee and came and told Radharani that now Madhu has gone. Meaning the bee, because the bee is called Madhu. But Krishna is also called Madhu, and Radharani thought that, oh no, Krishna's gone. How? And Krishna was sitting right there, and he said, no, no, it's all right. No problem. In fact, she was still sitting on his lap. No problem, I'm here. And Radharani looked at him, and Krishna's body is effulgent or reflective, like sapphire. Yes. So she looked at Krishna's body. She just saw her own reflection in Krishna's body. And she thought, no, you're not here. And Krishna was saying, but I am here, I'm right here, you can hear me, I'm right here. But when Krishna speaks, his voice becomes all pervasive. And you can hear it over here and over there. So she heard his voice over there, somewhere in the distance. And she said, no, you're not here, you're over there, somewhere, who knows where. Oh, no. And she started crying. And Krishna was trying to pacify her. But he just couldn't. Just couldn't. So in the end he started crying. And the tears of the two of them filled up. There was some like hollow in the ground. Their tears filled up that hollow and that became Prem Sarovar. The lake of love. The tears of love of Radha and Krishna. So life in Vrindavan is very beautiful, very nice. No need to get materially attached. You won't want to. Nothing to be afraid of. Nothing to be frustrated by. Because Krishna's there. So the devotee feels always secure and protected. And everything is very nice. So this is the goal. We practice Krishna consciousness as Krishna and Srila Prabhupada are advising us here, by getting free from excessive attachment, free from fear, free from that mood of frustration and anger, and by cultivating the service attitude to Krishna, following the process steadily and nicely, then we can also come to that platform of love of God. Hare Krishna.
Hare Krishna.
Okay, so we'll have another little kirtan. Divine grace, Vaisya Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki, ISKCON Swami Acharya Srila Prabhupada ki, Jagat Guru Srila Prabhupada ki, Sri Sri Gaunatai ki, Sankirtan Yajna ki, Gaur Premanande, all glories to their Simple Devotees, all glories to their Simple Devotees, all glories to their Simple Devotees, all glories to Sri Guru and Sri Gauranga, all glories to Srila Prabhupada.